WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Facebook and Instagram are ditching fact-checking. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Earlier this week, Mark Zuckerberg announced that Meta platforms will be getting rid of fact checkers and instead rely on tools like Community Notes. Zuckerberg says it's an effort to, quote, restore free expression.
After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy. We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the U.S.
But what does this move mean in the age of disinformation? For more, we turn to Jim Warren, executive editor at NewsGuard, and Michael Spikes, lecturer at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism and director of the Teach for Chicago Journalism Program. I wanted to know what was their initial reaction to Zuckerberg's decision to drop fact-checking. Here's Jim first.
Absolutely no surprise. We at NewsGuard had dealt with Facebook, now called Meta, for a while in early on, and we're now in our 6th year, in our first year or so, and it took a while before we realized that they really weren't interested, neither was Google, in third parties assessing the quality of their work. And I think in some ways it looks as if, for political reasons, they were sort of forced into doing it, and now, for whatever reason, Zuckerberg is... has decided not to. I mean, I think it is significant, if only because of the giant platforms they are. I mean, if you just think of tweeting, Zuckerberg just, you know, gets 100 million people look at what he says, 100 million people look at what Trump says on social media, 200 million people look at what Elon Musk says on social media. So that's a pretty big a megaphone compared to BZ or the Chicago
Tribune. Huge impact, huge footprint there. Why, Michael, do you think that he wants Meta to go this route?
Well, I think in particular, I think like Jim was saying, it's pretty clear that he's trying to curry favor with the incoming administration, and also knowing that we're going to have a government that's going to be, the Republicans are going to be in the majority, and unfortunately, it's a large, like, majority of them that seem to be in this sort of alternative universe of this sort of fact-free environment. Mm-hmm. So, and when anybody tries to come to them, in particular, that being fact-checkers or those being journalists,
right,
who try to say, if you're going to make a claim, you need to support that claim with evidence or with facts, they are quick to turn around and say, you're trying to censor my ideas.
Yeah.
So I think Zuckerberg looking at that, and also with the fact that Musk's X platform is still, it may not be thriving, but it's still doing better than people were thinking it was going to do when Musk took it over.
Right.
I think Zuckerberg sees that and just says, you know what, we can throw these things out and we'll still be okay.
Can I just say, I don't know what his motivation is, and I don't want to say that, you know, he's trying to curry favor with Trump. May look like that, but I don't know the guy. I just don't know. But I think the bigger picture here for folks, BZ listeners and others to consider is that, you know, and it was laid out in an Axios column yesterday, there are a couple of major trends going on. Trust in traditional media like us is continuing to decline.
Right.
Where people are getting their information is splintered into 1,000 different universes. And the world's now most significant social platforms like X, like Instagram, Facebook, no longer police speech or information in any fashion. Mm-hmm. That's something you should be worried about.
So earlier today, my team and I scoured Facebook. We just kind of wanted to take the temperature and see what some Facebook users were saying. Here are a couple of comments that we came across. Jennifer Newsom said, this was good because of freedom of speech and censorship. And she says, it's also good because who fact checks the fact checkers? Another comment from Laura says, I think they needed to revamp it as some really odd things would be flagged, but they're doing this to kiss the ring of the criminal incoming administration. Another note here from Michael Delgado suggests, wouldn't community notes just be pounced upon by trolls and millions of bots? You're nodding, Michael. What does that come to bring to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think about conversations that have been happening around the use of community notes, particularly on X. And that is that, like Jim was mentioning, a person like Elon Musk or another, influential person online can really just point an army of people towards these community notes to just say, you know, here's a claim that we think should be questioned, or here's the questions we think should be asked of them, without having any processes behind that would, you know, put in front of that the fact that we need to have verified information, information that is verified with observable evidence.
We talked about the political bias conversation piece to this here. Fact checkers who were partnered with Meta, they're blasting Zuckerberg for accusing them of that, for political bias. This is including Alan Duke, who runs the fact-checking site Lead Stories. He had a contract with Meta, and he told CNN that Meta never questioned them about their political bias in the 6 years that they were, you know, with the program. So where do you think that claim of political bias is coming from?
Well, I think that's a good question to ask. I had a colleague, and I have a colleague at Lead Stories, who also has commented on this. But also to say, if Zuckerberg is going to come out and say that these fact checkers have been biased, they should have some 8 years of data that they should be able to cite and say to us, these are the examples that we say that we're using to say that these platforms are biased.
So, and we're not saying in any way, Sasha, and I think it's a canard, that fact-checking is tantamount to censorship. We at NewsGuard are not for blocking anything. Run what you want to run on Meta. Run what you want to run on Instagram. But also give people some sense of what's behind some of those things. If it's something that you know is by the Russian or Chinese or Iranian government and that is pure propaganda, or is a link to a website that a guy in Russia concocted to make you think it's a phony Illinois site, tell people that. As an example, for conservatives out there, here is today's New York Times, corrections on page something. An article on Sunday about the recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom misstated which child of Robert F. Kennedy's accepted the medal on his behalf. It was Carrie Kennedy, not Kathleen Kennedy.
A clear correction.
Is that liberal? Is that conservative? No, it's just a fact.
Yeah. Talk more about the larger implications of all of this for journalism in the U.S.
Well, I think larger implications have to do with the decline of traditional media, and the fact that a place like, say, the Chicago Tribune, where I was managing editor and had 670 people in the newsroom and covered lots of things, including lots of state agencies, now is down to maybe 125 people. It's that there are fewer, and there's probably very few fact checkers.
Yeah.
The obituaries, I had a dealing with the obituary writer yesterday, and he's a freelancer.
So is this making journalists' jobs harder?
Harder, but I think it's also raising a question for the WBZ listener, or the Tribune reader, or other news consumer of where you can go for news you can trust. Michael does a lot with literacy education and media literacy, and I think there are a lot of teachers out there. There's a librarian at a private Catholic school on the north side who contacted me with this announcement and said, this makes my job that more complicated.
Right.
In trying to tell kids, what are sources of reliable information in a world in which fewer and fewer of them are checking the quality of their information. Mm-hmm.
So we've touched on this already. Some have accused Meta, of course, of removing these fact checkers as a move to just appease Trump. Trump himself, though, said the approach was probably due to threats that he made against Zuckerberg in the past. You think there's any truth to that, Michael? And how does all this align with what, you know, Trump is already doing?
Well, again, like, we can speculate that it might be. We would need evidence to sort of, like, say this is exactly why. And the way to get that evidence would be to talk to Zuckerberg and say, did you make these decisions for that reason? On that same end, you know, consumers are also going to have to really make sure that they put in front of them that idea of what is the evidence that helps to support any claims that are made on any platform. We know that on all of these platforms, yes, they want to champion free speech, but free speech does not mean that a person can just say whatever they want and then mm-hmm. people can just follow that without actually asking the questions of where did this come from? How do you know this? How connected are you to this information? And do you have a stake in what the outcome of this information may be? So people really have to keep that in mind.
So, Jim, do these changes, you think, to Facebook and Instagram, do they allow President-elect Trump and other people in power, so other politicians, billionaires, just to better control narratives now?
Of course, if there's nobody double-checking on the narratives. In the sense, I mean, just think, Sasha, if I right now launched into a tirade and said, for instance, that Brandon Johnson is a serial murderer, or that Barack Obama was born in Africa, or that the wildfires in L.A. are some crazy conspiracy concocted by whomever, the Democratic Party, you guys would reflexively either edit that out, or you would put in something that said, Mr. Warren said such and such, that is not true about Brandon Johnson or about Barack Obama or about the wildfires,
right,
because you feel that responsibility in ways that clearly a lot of the big social media platforms no longer do, which is why folks like Michael should be concerned about the future of what kids in schools are learning if there are very few places for them to inherently trust as trustworthy.
Yeah. In his announcement, Zuckerberg also flagged that removing fact checkers was going to create problems, but he pitched this as it being about balance. Let's listen.
The reality is that this is a trade-off. It means we're going to catch less bad stuff, but we'll also reduce the number of innocent people's posts and accounts that we accidentally take down.
Does this make users more vulnerable, Michael?
It may.
And if so, how?
I mean, it may somewhat. I mean, if he's saying that there are accounts that are being taken down by accident, and as I've seen on a number of occasions, there have been people who have said, well, my account was taken down, it was quote-unquote hacked, and I have nobody I can contact to try to get that to be brought back up. Yes, that could make it more dangerous for more people on these platforms to get their sort of accounts taken down. But mm-hmm. again, it does say that the users of these platforms, they do have a responsibility. They've got a responsibility to make sure that the information that they're sharing on them that can definitely influence people's beliefs, their actions,
right,
are credible.
Yeah. I'm also wondering about artificial intelligence and just how prevalent it is on social media, as we've seen. Photos and content that looks completely real, right? And in the past, it's been flagged by fact checkers as AI. So in the absence of that, I mean, what's at stake, Jim?
That's a great question, because I wish Zuckerberg was here, because I'd say, hey,
me
Mark.
Too.
Hey, Mark, old buddy. So you don't want to have any fact checking on your platform. But when it comes to your competing with Microsoft, Google, ChatGPT in the increasingly apparently lucrative AI universe, one of the bases on which you are going to compete, am I correct, Mark, is how demonstrably correct and factual your information is going to be. That's how you're going to sell your AI product. Is there a little bit of a disjoint here, Marky?
Well, before I let you both go, I want you to take out your crystal ball for us. What do you expect to see going forward? I mean, the next few years, how do you think people's usage of social media is going to change, if at all? You first, Michael.
I would definitely say that, I mean, as much as I would like it to change and to like to see people move away from these platforms, I think what we're going to see is just in particular, already polluted ecosystem just become even more polluted.
Yeah.
Jim? And I think two institutions which I have hope in are the education system, which I think may belatedly start paying some credence to teaching what we might call media literacy. And also, there's the advertising community. The advertising community is as unsettled by this as anybody else, and they don't want their famous clients appearing on sites that are actually secretly concocted by Vladimir Putin and making lots of crazy claims.
Such a domino effect
here. Homophobic or racist sites. And we have dealings with some of those big ad agencies who ask us to tell them what sites they can trust.
Right. We'll leave it there. We've been talking with Jim Warren, who's executive editor at NewsGuard, and Michael Spikes, a lecturer at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism. Thank you both so much. We could have talked about that for an hour.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed and Andrea Guffman. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. At Reset, we have conversations that ask questions to bring clarity and nuance to breaking news. If you like what you hear, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.